Hello, this is Duncan Newcomer. Welcome to Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. It's a quote about Lincoln by the poet Walt Whitman. As to his religious nature, it seems to me to have certainly been of the amplest, deepest-rooted, loftiest kind. Now, Whitman was a careful observer of Lincoln. He would often watch as Lincoln and his military escorts rode past him on summer mornings down to the White House on Vermont Avenue near L Street. Here's something Whitman wrote about those sometimes momentary encounters. I see very plainly Abraham Lincoln's dark brown face, with deep-cut lines, his eyes always to me with a deep latent sadness in the expression. We have got so we exchange bows, and very cordial ones. Whitman also saw in Lincoln's face what he called an indirect expression. He said, "There is something else there." Another poet, Carl Sandburg, had a name for that something else in Lincoln's face. He called it by the word yonder. Yonder was a favorite word of Carl Sandburg's. He uses it in many of his Rutabaga poems. Sandburg imagines that Lincoln got this sense of yonder from his mother. Nancy Hanks, wrote Sandburg, believed in God, in the Bible, in mankind, in the past and future, in babies, people, animals, flowers, fishes, in foundations and roofs, in time and in the eternities outside of time. He concludes his lexicon of her beliefs, saying, "So much of what she believed was yonder, always yonder." These two poets, Whitman and Sandburg, as they thought about Lincoln, saw something spiritual about him, a religious nature, a deep sorrow, and a sense of yonder. You might wonder what's so good about a president with a sad and yonder spirit. You might also wonder how Lincoln got so much done as president if he was so spiritual. Good questions that can lead to great insights. It is a third poet, the Indian mystic Tagore, who can tell us of the usefulness of yonder in a person's life. Tagore writes of the mystic vision that the ancient Indian holy men had, from how they saw the vast lands and thick forests they lived in. India, then, was similar to Indiana when the boy Lincoln first lived there in 1816. Vast lands and thick primeval forests. The wisdom of the ancient sages was simple. The aim of life is not to acquire, but to realize. Their response to the natural world was to enlarge their consciousness, to grow into one's surroundings. The world and the world of humankind are one, a great truth, a harmony. In the primitive natural world that Lincoln grew up in, his response is in the same spirit, a spirit he never lost. He did not hunt or fish. He only shot one animal when he was nine, a turkey, and he cried at its beauty when he came up to it. He chastened his friends when they put hot coals on the backs of turtles. His natural instinct, his spiritual reflex, was to see himself as one with nature, to envision a harmony with life, not a conquest. Even his sorrow and sadness came naturally to him, his mother and sister both dying before he was 20 years old. The vast size of the frontier of America, the prairies of Illinois, communicated a unity and a wonder. Lincoln's sense of yonder was a kind of hope. It came from how he saw his place in nature. People on the East Coast at first thought he was uncouth. Actually, he was ragged and rugged, like an Indian holy man. But Lincoln was not just like an Indian mystic. He believed in history as well as nature, and he believed in American civilization. But America was about a unified country, the land, as well as the Constitution, told him so. Abraham Lincoln was a spiritual man, and his spirit continues to teach and to inspire us. In yonder and sorrow, that is how his spirit can continue to light us down to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.